All right, it's a blessing to be here this evening. I'm going to give a shameless plug for my missions trip that our church is going to be taking. You know, if you say, well, is it on YouTube? Well, it's going to be now on YouTube. So I'm looking at the camera. Hey, make sure you come to Belize March 16th to the 20th. And we're going to be going in a couple months to Belize for a couple days. And so we've already been out there a couple times. It's been very receptive. And actually, that's what I'm going to be preaching on this evening. But it's exciting to be a part of a movement, part of a church that has a heart to reach not just the people in their Jerusalem, but also the people in the uttermost parts of the world. So I'm excited about that. The conference has been a big blessing to me because I've been saved for about 14 years. And in that time span, I've been to many missions conferences. At my old church, our church used to put conferences on every year to cast vision and to place a burden in our heart to reach people all around the world. And so this is a good reminder to me. And I think churches should have something like this every single year, right? We always need a reset button for certain things. Because sometimes we as Christians, we can get cold regarding soul winning. We can get cold regarding missions. And these type of conferences and sermons can help us push that reset button and to recast that vision for the uttermost parts of the world. And so I'm thankful for this privilege and honor that I have. Thank you, Pastor Anderson, for inviting me to come preach. I'm excited about it. I also like this conference because I get to see my pastor friends. And I love all my pastor friends, and I'm so thankful for their friendship and their fellowship. It was funny. Earlier this morning, I was with Pastor Anderson, and we were studying Greek. I went to his Greek study. And yesterday, I went out to eat with Pastor Fritz, and he was like, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? And I was just like, yeah, I'm going to be doing the Greek meetup with Pastor Anderson. And he hasn't talked to me since. So I don't. I mean, he read the Bible. This is all he's done for me. He's read the Bible for me before the sermon. But I don't know if that's a coincidence. Was that too soon? That was probably too soon, huh? Anyways, but I love my pastor friends. I'm thankful to be able to see them and fellowship with them. And so I'm thankful for this. And then I just want to mention that immediately after the service, we're going to be passing out some faith promise cards for you to just sign away your life. And those of you in OLIFE, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm just kidding about that. We're not passing out any cards, all right? Only I am going to be passing out those cards. And so, and then we also got a special, okay? I'm going to be singing Here Am I, you know, People Need the Lord, kind of prepare your heart for that. And so, no, I'm just kidding. All right, let's get into the sermon. The title of the sermon this evening is The Nobility of Belize. The Nobility of Belize. Look down at your Bible at Acts chapter 17, verse number 10. The Bible reads here, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. So this is what I want to preach on this evening, is the topic of Belize, and more specifically, the nobility thereof. Now, what does the Bible mean when it states that these people were more noble than those in Thessalonica? Well, the word nobility can mean a person, or can define a person who has moral excellence. They have character and moral excellence. But it also means someone who's just distinguished, someone who is different than anybody else. And in other words, they kind of stand out, right? You look at somebody and they say these people are noble, more noble than this other group. In other words, they're kind of different than one another. They're distinguished. They kind of stand apart from everyone else. Now, let me give you a rundown of what's taking place here in Acts chapter 17. Look at verse number 1. This is shortly after Paul has been released from prison. He goes to Lydia's house, and from there they depart. And it says in verse number 1, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 days Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. So he goes there as his manner was, begins to preach the gospel, begins to testify and witness of these things. And what is the result of this? Well, look at verse 4. And some of them believed. Amen. And consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. So we see there that he goes, he preaches the gospel, and what is the result? People get saved. Not only do people get saved, but people begin to consort with Paul and Silas. They begin to associate with him, follow him, and listen to him. This is a great blessing. This is great when someone gets saved and they come to church, they get plugged in, they start hearing the preaching, they start repenting, they start getting their life right, they start living for the Lord. This is great. But I want you to notice that it says some of them believe. So he goes there to the synagogue of the Jews, he preaches, and they see some fruit, but it's only some, okay? Now, whenever an open door of opportunity is open unto us, there's always an adversary, isn't there? You know, the Bible tells us, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. What does that tell us? Anytime God opens up a door of opportunity for us, whether to go take a missions trip or preach the gospel in a specific city that's receptive, Satan doesn't like that. You know, the forces of darkness are not just going to let you get away with it. They're going to try to put, you know, hindrances, wicked men before you, try to distract you from the work of God. Why? Because whenever there's an opportunity, evil men always arise to try to hinder the word of God from having free course. So whenever we do something big for God and there's an adversary, let that be a confirmation, not a discouragement. You know, whenever wicked men arise to try to hinder the work of God, when we're preaching the gospel, let that be said. Hey, let it teach you, okay, what we're doing is right. God is leading us in the right direction. We are in the right place at the right time because, you know, Satan's here. The adversaries have arisen. We're doing that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. But whenever there's an opportunity, you know, evil men arise and they try to hinder the work. The Bible tells us you don't have to turn there. In 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1, finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. So he says, look, when you pray for us, I want you to add two things on your prayer list. One, that the word of God will have free course. In other words, it's successful, it's prosperous. Secondly, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, because these things often go together. Whenever the word of God has free course, it's successful, it's prospering, wicked men arise to try to hinder the work. Well, look at verse number 5. But the Jews. Man. But the Jews which believe not. That's not very surprising. Moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. By the way, notice that the people, if they don't get the main leaders, they're going to go for those who they associate with. You know, if you're in this church and you feel like you're not on the front lines and, you know, and you feel like you're not doing much for it, well, just being in this church, being, you know, consorting with the leaders of this church will get you in trouble, right? But it's a good place to be. Jason was in a good place. He's receiving that persecution. Therefore, he can leap for joy, for his reward is great. We see in verse 8, it says, and they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they had heard these things, and when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. Now look at verse number 10. So this is after they kick them out, or they leave, excuse me, they depart. Look at verse 10. It says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Basically what we see in the beginning of the chapter, right? These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Now look what it says in verse 12. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. So what do we see? We see in verse 4, some of them believed, but then the contrast in verse number 12 is that many of them believed. Why is it that one group seems to be more receptive than the other? Well, we see there that the second group that they went to received the word with all readiness of mind. We would say today they were receptive. They had ears to hear what these soul winners had for them. And what was the end result of that? Many of them believed. When it comes to common sense missions, this factor plays a major role in getting the job done. Now, what is that? I'm basically going to reiterate to you what you've been hearing this entire conference, which is this. Hey, when we're doing missions, Let's go to the place that's the most receptive. You say, well, I know a group that's receptive. I know, you know, this area is receptive. Okay, but if we find something that's even more receptive, go there. Amen. Right? We go to the areas where we know many will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What was the essential element that caused many of them to believe? It says they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Now, we often use the scripture to basically say, hey, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. You know, when you hear preaching, don't just believe everything you see or everything that you hear. Make sure you prove it according to the word of God. You compare scripture with scripture. You know what the Bible says. Prove all things. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed. And that's not a bad secondary application. But the main application interpretation of this is that these are actually unsaved people. And what were these unsaved people doing? They hear the gospel. They receive it. And then they search the scriptures to see if those things were so, and they get saved. This is great. They were ready. They were far more open to the gospel than those in Thessalonica. Now, this evening, I want to talk to you about the Americas, okay? Specifically, Spanish-speaking countries, and respectively, the country of Belize, okay? Now, let me just start off by saying this, is that the Spanish-speaking world needs to be reached with the gospel, okay? Needs to be reached. Now, obviously, we have many Spanish speakers here in this country alone, but you know what? There's tons of them out there in South America and Central America that need to be reached with the gospel. And they're very receptive to the gospel. Not only are they receptive, but when they get saved, they love hard preaching. And they need to be reached. And in fact, approximately 527 million people in this world speak Spanish, which makes Spanish the fourth most spoken language in the world. You know, how many of you in here speak Spanish? How many of you here speak Spanglish? More people. There you go. By the way, you can lead people to the Lord speaking Spanglish. Amen. Now, I want to inspire those of you who speak Spanglish to go to these countries. Because it's easy to make an excuse, is it not? To say, well, you know, my Spanish is not that good. I just can't really speak it that well. Well, you know what? You got a couple months. And look, if Pastor Anderson can go to Cyprus and win people to the Lord speaking Greeklish, right? So can you. Speaking Spanglish, okay? I want to inspire you to go and reach this people group. Why is that? Because it makes up such a large population of the world, these Spanish speakers. And they need the gospel. They need to get saved. They just need someone. They need a church, they need a pastor, they need a soul winner to get a heart for them, to get a heart for their country. And you know what? All they need is a person who knows the gospel, who can preach it. And look, I'm not saying if you have zero interest in going to a Spanish-speaking country, let this sermon just speak to your heart in regards to missions. Okay? You apply it to whatever, wherever you want to go. But you know, if you do speak Spanish, I encourage you, I challenge you, go to one of these countries. Amen. Go to Mexico. But more specifically, I'm talking about Belize today. And I'm gonna explain to you why I think it's a great idea to cut your teeth going to Belize. Now, this message was brought to you in part by Brother Mike Madison, actually. Okay? A couple months ago, I was maybe a year ago. I don't remember. My time is off. I don't remember how long it was ago. But I was preaching here. And I was already planning to go to another Spanish-speaking country. And I was walking back there, and he caught me, and he said, hey, I know you're planning to go to this country, but have you ever thought about Belize? And I was like, nope. Not interested, you know? And he's like, well, think about it. And he kind of gave me some statistics. He told me how it was very receptive and how they speak English and all these things. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, this sounds a little, it intrigued me a little bit. So I planned a missions trip there, and honestly, it changed my life. After Belize, my view and perspective on missions just changed completely. My heart for those who are lost in the uttermost parts of the world changed drastically because of it, you know. And I came back with a greater appreciation for missions because of it. And it helped me to realize that, you know what, obviously there's people here that need the gospel, and this is priority, amen. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, this is our priority. This is what we need to reach. This is where we need to preach the gospel. But there's so many people out there that need it too. And sometimes you can go to these places whether, you know, in Los Angeles or in Tempe, and it can get discouraging sometimes, right? You go to really dry areas where they're not really receptive towards the gospel, but we do it because, you know what, this is our Jerusalem, we got to do it. But then you go to a place like Belize and it's just a breath of fresh air. Yeah. It's almost unreal. Yeah. Like, are you serious? You're this receptive? And I'm going to share some stories with you of my trip to Belize, and I'm not exaggerating here, okay? In fact, after I'm done with this sermon, the half still has not been told. Amen. Okay? This is a great task to accomplish. And look, we as Independent Fundamental Baptists, we need to capitalize on the Spanish-speaking world. I need to preach more sermons in Spanish. I need to make more videos in Spanish. We need to do something. Because there's a group out there, and you know what? You know who they're listening to? Calvinists, unfortunately. Paul Washer. That's who they're listening to. You know, they need Independent Fundamental Baptists, soul winning King James only, Reina Valera, not the 1960, you know, Baptists to come in there with the right gospel, with the right teaching, with the right doctrine. This is what they need, okay? Now, how are we going to do this? Well, we need a gateway country to get our foot in the door, and I believe Belize can be that gateway country. Now, let me give you some statistics regarding Belize. The Spanish ruled Belize since their arrival in the New World, but Britain gained full control in 1798. Belize was actually formerly known as the British Honduras, and it was a crown colony from 1862 to 1964, and in fact was the last continental possession of the United Kingdom in the Americas. The economic decline after World War II led to their independence, which was granted in 1964. This independence is being continuously challenged by their neighboring country, Guatemala. So Guatemala is constantly trying to fight for territory there in Belize. And, you know, when you go to Belize, you'll see, you know, Belize is the only country in Central America that does not want to be associated as like a Spanish-speaking country or a Spanish Central American country. You'll literally go there and you'll see billboards. They'll say, don't call us Belize. Belize is the Spanish way of saying Belize. They'll say, don't call us Belize. We are Belize. Okay? And they're a bunch of racists, man. I'm just kidding. Hey, the Belizean population is just over 390,000 people. Now, I come from Long Beach, California. Long Beach has just under 490,000. So Long Beach is actually larger in population than the whole country of Belize. Now, what does this tell us? This tells us that we need to strike while the iron is hot. Amen. We need to go to Belize because there's not that many people there. We need to go there and capitalize. We're here for such a time as this, and we need to go there and give them the gospel. We don't know how long they have. It's a country that's very easily accessible. It's not very far. It takes a couple hours to get there by plane. It's very inexpensive, too. The food is great. Weather's awesome. And it has a Protestant background, okay? I'm not a Protestant, but this is good. I'm going to explain to you why. Because most Central American countries are very Roman Catholic-based, okay? This is the only country, though they have Catholics, that has a really strong Protestant background. And for that reason, because they were colonized by the British, they used the King James Bible. Right. And only the King James Bible. In fact, the entire time that I was there, I never saw any other Bible other than the King James Bible. They teach the King James Bible in their public schools. They have a memorized scripture. In fact, many times when we're out soul winning, my soul winning partner, Brother Milan, he was witnessing to a teenager, and the teenager was literally finishing up the Romans road for him. He wasn't saved. He's like, yeah, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he's just like, you know it. He's like, yeah. He's like, look, you know, for the wages of sin is death. He's like, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What else you got? You know, kind of like literally just finishing up the verses. I mean, the Bible has presence there. Okay. Now, it is said that the majority are Roman Catholic, but I'll be honest with you, when we were there, not a whole lot of people ascribe to Catholicism, at least the city that I went to. Okay. But the heavy British influence has caused a lot larger Protestant population than any other country in Central America. You do have Mayan and Garifuna practice, and they have their own mixture of traditional shamanism and Christianity. But there is a biblical presence there. Now, Brother Mike Madison, when he's gone a couple times with a couple people from here, from Faithful Word, And when we went there a couple months ago, we went in November. We were there and we're out. Honestly, we didn't even get to finish our assignment because we couldn't even get past our street. So many people getting saved. Like as soon as one, we're done with one, we're walking and someone was walking, they walk towards us, we talk to them, they get saved. We literally would spend like hours just in that one street alone talking to people. And I remember I was talking to this young lady, and some of them have a really, really thick accent because the major language there, their language, their national language is English, but they also speak Spanish and Creole. But they have a really thick Caribbean accent. Some of them have a really thick to the point that I just don't understand what they're saying, okay? And I remember I was trying to give this girl the gospel, and I gave her a YouTube card, and then she kind of like looked at me for a while, and then she said, "Someone already gave me one of these." I was like, "Oh, okay," and I thought maybe it was one of the guys from our team. He's like, "It's a tall white man." He said, "Last year, a tall white man gave me this." And she said, "And the guy on the card preaches just like you." I was like, "Great. Yeah, those are my friends, you know?" But there's already a presence there. People know the Bible. The Bible's taught in schools. Verses are memorized. There's the Ten Commandments are everywhere. And, you know, we would walk by and just people would make time to hear the word of God. You know, here people are always in a rush, right? We live in a microwave society and people are they're just going everywhere and they don't have time and, you know, or they lie and they say they don't have time, but, you know, playing Xbox or whatever. There, literally, they will, and they'll tell you. We were walking down the street and this guy, he was walking. And he was on his way to pick up his wife from work. It was already late at night. And I guess his wife worked in a very dangerous area. And so he wanted to go pick her up. And my soul winning partner started talking to him. And he said, "You know, I got to go pick up my wife from work, but I always make time for the word of God. So go ahead." You know? And, you know, he got saved. And, you know, my partner was very thorough to the point where, you know, his wife met him like halfway, basically. She's like, Where was it? So she comes, and then, you know, I talked to her, and she got saved. But they have this reverence towards the word of God that they just can't say. Maybe it's just a culture that they just can't say no, but I'll take advantage of that, you know. You know, I'm good with that. Because many times we talk to someone, they're like, "Oh, I'm on my way to work, but I always make time for the Bible," you know. And I can't think of one time where I was rejected. They're so receptive towards the gospel, and it was great. So why do I believe that Belize is a place of spiritual nobility? Why does it make sense to go to Belize? Because look, we want to reach all Spanish-speaking countries, but why not cut our teeth in a country that predominantly speaks English, right? Because they do speak Spanish. You know, if you go to Belize City, the majority speak English. I think Pastor Anderson went there and he said that not many people, I don't think he ran into anybody who spoke Spanish. But I went to San Ignacio, which is closer to Guatemala, and there's tons of people that speak Spanish there, but there's also tons of people that speak English. They speak both. And we went there and it was just very receptive. People were listening to the gospel and they were getting saved. But I believe Belize is a gateway country to reach the Spanish-speaking world. And look, if you are nervous, if you're like, "Man, I'm not confident with my Spanish. I don't know if I can hack it," Belize is a perfect place for you to go then. Because here's the thing. You're there, and the vast majority of the people you're going to run into speak only English. And you can say, "Hey, I went to a Spanish country. I'm in Central America. I went to a Spanish country, and I won, you know, these people to the Lord, and I don't even speak a lick of Spanish." But it's also good in case, you know, because, you know, you do. I ran into a bunch of people that spoke Spanish, and I got to lead them to the Lord, and it was very receptive. Now, let me give you a couple things here. Why? Number one, as I mentioned, I believe the country of Belize is a country of nobility because Belize is the only English language-speaking country in Central America. 40% of the country speaks English, Spanish, and Creole, but English is the main one that they speak. So you don't have to go to language school, okay? You know, those of you who we would refer to as pochos, right? You know, those Hispanics who don't speak a lick of Spanish. You don't have to worry. You can go and speak English, and they won't look down on you for it, okay? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, if you would. It's the only English. Look, here's the thing is, I don't think that's by accident. I think God is leading us as churches, as pastors, to find the easiest country. Because don't we get discouraged easily sometimes? But we're also encouraged easily as well. You know, if we have immediate success, that kind of catapults us. That kind of works as a catalyst and gives us the confidence to say we can win the rest of Central America now. You know, we're making such an imprint and we're making such an impact in this country. You know, why don't I learn Spanish? Or, hey, my Spanish is not that good, but you know what? I'm going to improve it so much the more because if Belize is like this and God is blessing this country by sending soul winners here, let's get the job done here so that God can open up more opportunities in different countries in Central America and South America. You know, I think we need to be a good steward of the open doors that we have today, right? We need to be a good steward before we go anywhere else that may be a difficult area. We need to make sure that we hit the areas that are very receptive, that are clearly open to the gospel, take advantage of that, and then deal with the rest later. Look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 6. It says, "Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sound, how shall it be known what is piped or harp? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air." Hey, you don't need a translator when you go to Belize. Because you are going to make a distinct sound, and that distinct sound is called English. And it's pretty trippy, to be honest with you. Because when I was there, you run into some really dark Guatemalan Mayan-looking people. And they speak perfect English. In some instances, they don't even speak Spanish. You know, I'm like talking to the guy in Spanish. I like judge them by his skin color and stuff. And he's like, "Sorry, man. I don't speak." I'm like, "Whoa. I'm sorry," you know, and they got saved, and it just showed me like, wow, you know, so this is, we need to take advantage of this. You know, if you are considering even missions just in general, this is a perfect place to go. Come with us in March. Try it out. I literally went for like 2 days, and in 2 days, four of us, we saw, I think it was over 45 people saved. Wow. Brother John, your group. You guys went for how many days? How many did you see saved? 136. Lots of people saved. And honestly, we couldn't even finish our area. Like, San Ignacio's not done yet. You know, very receptive. Now, why do I believe that Belize is a place of spiritual nobility? Because Belize is the only English language speaking country in Central America. Go with me, if you would, to John chapter number 3. The second reason is because they have ears to hear. They are extremely receptive. As I mentioned in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, it says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." Look at John chapter 3 and verse 18. It says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation: the light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Let me say this, is that the reason Belize is as receptive as it is the same reason that Pastor Anderson was talking about this, or yesterday, about Asia. They are responding to the light that God gives them. They have so much Bible. They have such a biblical foundation. They have the Bible in their hearts. They're causing their people to memorize scripture. God is basically telling them, okay, I'm going to send people there. Amen. They fear God. In fact, one of the things that really left me astonished was this. You know, here when I preach the gospel, when I talk about sin, I'll ask people, I'll say, you know, give me an example of a really bad sin. And people here will often say murder or suicide. I took that over there and I said, give me an example of a really bad sin. And they said adultery. They said adultery. And they would tell me this, adultery is really bad. I was like, whoa, you sound more fundamental than most fundamental Baptists. I can't even get some Baptists to say that. I can't even get some Baptist pastors to say that. Good night. And they're and I'm telling you with fear in their hearts, they said adultery is very bad. That's a big sin. I'm like, yeah, you're absolutely right. Punishable by death according to the Bible. And they said, yes. That showed me something very unique about these people, that they're still sensitive to sin. And I'll be honest with you, you know, living in LA, I'm not saying it's like this everywhere, but, you know, you hear people cussing all the time, whether in restaurants and speaking with vulgar language and things like that. Not in Belize. I literally, when I was there, I didn't hear one. The most thuggish person that I met there did not cuss at all. Didn't use vulgar language. Very respectable. I remember we were crossing this bridge, my soul winning partner and I, and there's these two guys, and they were looking like really thuggish. And my friend, I'm not going to say his name because I don't want to embarrass him, but Milan, he was walking, and he was just like, this looks sketchy. I'm like, don't worry, man. It's going to be cool, you know. These guys look bad, though. You know, I was like, let's just try to give them the gospel. Let's see if, you know, you really think they're going to jump us or something? Like, what? And then I stopped them, and literally they took off their hats. They folded their arms in front of themselves and said, yes, sir, no, sir. Like, respect them. And we're like, what in the world? And actually, I take it back. These were the only guys that actually said no to the gospel. Okay, but as respectable as they could be, though, they're like, we're so sorry, but we have to go, but we really appreciate everything. I was just like, no problem, man, just don't rob me, you know, we'll call it even. I was like taken back by that. And even the young people, the children, the teenagers, they're taught to be very respectable and to listen. You know, you get a group of young people that you speak to, and they will literally, they won't joke around. They'll just stand there with their hands like this, and they'll give you their complete, undivided attention. It's a soul winner's paradise in the Spanish-speaking world, okay? It's great. But they're ready to hear. They have ears to hear what we have to say unto them, okay? Look at Acts chapter 13, if you would. Acts chapter 13. Now, with any missions trip, with any area you go to, there's always going to be a Bar Jesus. Always. And as soon as we got off the bus, there was a Bar Jesus there. We ran into like three of them, okay? And these guys were demon-possessed, for sure. These guys were demon-possessed. The one guy, he was like a drunkard, and Milan was witnessing to this guy, and he like wanted money, or like, I don't have money, but I'll give you the gospel. And he's just like, no. And then he just started like yelling at me, and I'm like, hey, quiet down, dude. They're trying to talk here. And he's just like, he's just yelling at me. And he was like distracting Milan from giving the gospel, and finally he went away. But there's this other time when Milan was preaching the gospel to this guy, and this guy interrupts, and he basically, like, Milan tried witnessing to him, and Milan said that when this guy looked at him, he was just like looking into his soul. And he was like bleeding out of his ear. It was like weird stuff. And it was weird because Milan had actually told him, he said, you know, he asked Milan a question and Milan answered him, and the guy just looked at him. And then Milan said, what do you have to say about that? And the guy said, I already answered you. And Milan was like, okay. Well, there's the YouTube card, you know, it's like, watch the video if you have a chance to, you know. Oh, man, I forgot to tell you about this one. We're at a restaurant. And by the way, here's another thing about Belize. They have zero concept of time. Zero. Here, it's like we start at 7. We go by a schedule. They have zero concept of time. They're just late to everything. Like, literally, we're on the bus, and we got Brother Mike Madison said, hey, take the transportation because you get to witness to people there. And we did. We got people saved on the bus. And start witnessing to these two kids. And like, hey, you got a couple minutes to, so I can share you, you know, what the Bible says on how to go to heaven? And he's like, oh, I don't know, man. We're about to get off the bus like in 15 minutes. He's like, okay, well, you know, just take a couple minutes. He's like, all right. Gives them the gospel. They both get saved. An hour and a half later, they get off the bus. I was like, did that guy say 15 minutes? That was like an hour and a half ago. But they're all like that. It's just a different pace. Okay? You know, like literally, like we would go to a restaurant and it would take like 2 hours to get our food. You know? But that's just the pace that they have, you know? I don't know what that had to do with anything, but it's just, I had to get it off my chest. Look at Acts 13, verse 5. It says, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. That's what I was going to say. I remember now. So we're at this restaurant. You know, it's taking forever for the food to get out. And then we see some other people at a table. And I don't know if they were tourists or what, but they look like they were from Belize, but maybe, you know, they were living in the United States and they came to Belize kind of thing. And we're about to leave, and one of them says, hey, are you guys missionaries? And we're like, yeah, we're missionaries. We're from First Works Baptist Church, we're missionaries. They're like, oh, man, that's awesome. So what do you think about that Kanye West album? I was like, I hate Kanye West. And they're like, why? I'm like, that guy is wicked. He's a false prophet. And, man, I mean, it ended up being some sodomite who likes Kanye West, you know? You know, but I remember he was just like, and literally they like wasted our time. And I regret it because I got into the flesh a little bit and I was kind of going at it with him. But I was thinking about it. I was like, man, there are Bar Jesuses even out here that try to hinder the work, try to distract us. You're like, well, did they attack you? No, but they wasted my time is what they did. You know, and time is valuable, obviously. Look at verse 6, it says, and when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet of Jews, name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Look, that's who we want to talk to, right? We don't want to waste our time with people who don't want the word of God. We want to talk to people who desire to hear the word of God. You know, when I go soul winning and I knock on a door, if people are just like, then I'm just like, all right, I'm out of here because I need to go talk to someone else who's actually receptive. Well, you know what? In Belize, pretty much everyone, it wants to hear the Bible. They want to hear the word of God. They want to hear the gospel. You can take an hour explaining the gospel and they will just stand there for an hour and just listen to you the entire time. They desire the word of God. Skip down to verse 12. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. You know, it was at night, and we're out preaching the gospel. We're looking for people in the streets, and this young lady walks around, and I stop her, and I start talking to her, and I take about 15 minutes or so to give her the gospel. She gets saved, and she says this. She goes, okay. She says, thank you so much for that. Can I go use the restroom now? I'm like, yeah, go for it, you know. I'm like, you could have just told me that, and then I could have, you know. They have ears to hear, amen. You know, they gladly receive the word of God all the time. Go with me, if you would, to John chapter 4. John chapter number 4. I will say this, Belize has a lot of mosquitoes. That's the only bad thing. There's tons of mosquitoes. So it was at night, and we're basically finishing up our first day. And I think we're like at 37 salvations. We've been working all morning, all night. And we're at 37 salvations. And don't you hate it when you have like 37 or like 39? You're like, man, can we just, let's go look for something. Let's even 40. So we're at 37, and I'm like, we're heading back. I'm like, man, there's no one out here. Let's go look for these last couple of people. And we literally prayed. We're like, Lord, you know, lead us to someone. Lead us to three people, you know, so we can talk to them to see if we can get them saved, get them even 40. And so literally we pray that, we're walking, and down a street you just see a light, right? We follow the light. We see a light, and we're like, oh, look, it looks like there's people over there. We walk over there, and there's like a family. There's a husband, a wife, and a son, and they're like looking up in a tree. They have this flashlight. They're kind of like looking up in a tree, and I'm like, what are they looking at? Now, we went there to give them the gospel, but we just got intrigued, and we just looked at the tree too. So we're just like, what? And they're like, it's an owl, man. It's an owl. We're like, wow, an owl. So we were looking at this owl, and I'm like, oh, yeah, we got to give them the gospel. It's time to give them the gospel. This is the only time I actually like animals, other than when I eat them, okay? Is the fact that I feel like God placed this stupid owl in the tree to intrigue this family to go look at it in order for us to catch them, because it was already late. And they just randomly came out of their house to go look at the owl, this stupid little bird. Hey, but he worked in our favor. So we get there, and then I start talking to the guy. I tell Milan, I say, all right, I'm gonna get the parents, you get their son. And we start giving them the gospel. They all get saved. There's the three right there. And he says, afterwards, he asks where we're from, and we tell him what church we're from, and you know, we're from the States in California, we're from Los Angeles. And he says, if you guys come back, tell me, I'll go with you. Amen. He goes, you guys can stay with me if you want. He goes, if you come back here, you can stay at my house and I'll go with you. Very inspirational. Amen. For someone to say that, you know. Obviously, you know, the guy got saved, but something, you know, his heart was touched. Amen. To the point where he said, I want to be involved in this work as well. That was a blessing. Look at John chapter 4, verse 35. He said, well, you know, it's really nice, Pastor Mejia, and, you know, that sounds great and everything, but, you know, I got a lot of things going on in my life right now. I just don't really have a whole lot of time, and maybe next year, maybe in 4 months, maybe in 6 months, maybe in a year, I'll consider doing like a missions trip. No, do it now. Look what the Bible says. Say not ye, in verse 35, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Hey, now's the time to go out there and give them the gospel. Now's the time to go out there, make time to go get them saved. Because we don't know. You know the song, So Little Time. Right. First of all, they have little time, but you know what? So do you. Right. We're not promised tomorrow. Right. We're not promised this week. We're not promised this year. Take advantage if the word of God, if the preaching of God's word is touching your heart this week. Make that decision and say, you know, I'm going to go on a missions trip. And it might just change your life. Amen. It might just deepen your love for lost people. Amen. It may just give you a vision to reach people for Christ in different parts of the world. You know, it's great to see people saved in our Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. But man, it's just something else when you go somewhere else around the world and you meet people, you know, who are in dire need of the gospel. When you get those little children saved, when you get that family saved, when you get that husband and wife saved, changes your life. It gives you more of an eternal perspective. Right. Say not ye there yet 4 months. Do it now. We don't know how long this receptiveness will last. So why do I believe Belize is a place of spiritual nobility? Well, I mentioned because Belize is the only English language speaking country in Central America. Makes it a great open door for us to go to, for you to cut your teeth, learn how to preach the gospel, take a missions trip, inexpensive, successful. Also, because they have ears to hear, they are extremely receptive. And then number three, as a whole, they are a God-fearing people. They're not saved, but they are a God-fearing people. In fact, let me just say this. I've never met a more God-fearing people, unsaved people, than the people of Belize. Okay? I was taken back. Go to Acts chapter number 10, if you would. Acts chapter 10. I was taken back by their demeanor, their attitude, their kindness towards us as missionaries. And look, I honestly believe that Belize is being blessed by God. that God is blessing Belize because of the fact that they have the Word of God, and He's blessing them with soul winners and missionaries. We just don't know how long that's going to last for, though. So we got to capitalize on that. And in fact, it's interesting because while we were there, you know, we had a taxi driver the entire time, and we got him saved. And he was driving us around, and he actually asked one of our guys, he said, before he got saved, he said, "Hey, so what's that? It's a Bible right there, huh?" Like, "Yep." He goes, "So what does it say about, like, you know, eternal life?" It's just like... And he's like, he like started quoting scriptures. I mean, low hanging fruit. It's like touch, it's barely touch, it's hanging by a thread. It's like, yeah, easy. Well, this same guy, he gets saved and he's driving us around. And I thought that Belize, that, that sodomy was illegal in Belize. I had heard that it was illegal in Belize. And so I told this guy, I said, "Hey, I heard, you know, sodomy is illegal in Belize." He's like, no, it's not illegal. They can marry. I'm like, "Oh, man, I thought it was otherwise." He goes, "No." He goes, "They won't go to jail, but they will go to hell." My man. Oh, that was great. I was like, I love this place. This is an awesome country, you know. They are a God-fearing people. You know, they still, and obviously I'm not saying that, like, no crime takes place there. People don't die there. People don't get murdered there. People, you know, obviously these things happen all around the world. But generally speaking, as a whole, Belize is a lot different from a lot of the Central American countries. You know, you think of El Salvador, for example. You think of Honduras, where they tell you, "Hey, you got to be careful." I mean, I think of Guatemala, where my parents are from. There's specific areas where my mom's from, for example, from the capital, where you can't go down certain streets. The violence is so heavy there, it's very dangerous to even walk down the street at night, okay? Belize tends to be a little different. You say, "Well, what are you saying about Guatemala? You don't want to go to Guatemala?" Well, I think that if we just take care of Belize, then God will open doors in Guatemala. I think if we take care of Belize, you know, this country that's very receptive, I think God will begin to open doors in these countries that may be a little dangerous to the point where we can go in there and win those people to Christ as well. But what I'm saying is that as a whole, they seem to be a God-fearing people. Look at Acts chapter 10, verse 1. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Now, people don't get saved by doing these things. But you know what this does? It gets God's attention. Because this guy is just responding to the light that God is giving to him. He's sincerely trying to worship God. He's looking for the Lord. And what is God going to do? He's going to allow that person to come to the saving knowledge of the truth by bringing a soul winner to that person. Right? Look at verse 30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thy alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God?' Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him.'" Now, it's not saying he's accepted in the beloved. Only people who are saved are accepted in the beloved. Amen. What this is referring to, the fact is that God sees when these people respond to the light that God gives them, and he gives them that more, a little more light after that. Until that person, that's why this whole, you know, the guy in the jungle, you know, in the Congo, you know, is that guy going to get saved? That's such a stupid illustration. Because God is giving us the light. And if we respond to that light, God is a good steward, and he's going to send people to go give that person the gospel. Okay? You know, I mentioned Guatemala, it's interesting because I feel like Belize, as I mentioned, is being blessed by God. Well, Israel is actually assisting Guatemala in trying to gain possession of Belize right now. You know? And here's the thing. So Belize is not a Zionist country. They're not blessing those. Right? They're not blessing Israel. But yet there's a ton of people that are getting saved. Makes you wonder, right? No, it doesn't. You know exactly what that means. Okay? I don't think that's a coincidence. The fact that they're not Zionists, and I understand that, you know, United States is, you know, there's a lot of Zionists here, but there are people getting saved and stuff. But in Belize, you know, they're very much anti-Zionist because of the fact that they want to remain an independent country, and yet God is blessing them. Okay? I don't think that's by accident. Now, I will say this is that, you know, because they're so receptive and because they have so much light, you know, they can receive the greater condemnation as well. Right? They're going to receive a greater condemnation because of the fact that they have the Word of God, you know, schools that are teaching the Bible, missionaries that are going there, people are preaching the gospel. I mean, they have a lot of light. So we want to make sure we reach that country before it gets to that point. So what do I believe Belize is a place of spiritual nobility? Because Belize is the only English language speaking country in Central America. Because they have ears to hear, they're extremely receptive, and as a whole, they are a God-fearing people. Now, this is my plan in order to reach, to fulfill the Great Commission, okay, for our church. In our church, we have set up a system of discipling converts, okay? The system is comprised of 7 teams. Each team leader is responsible to develop the people in his group in soul winning, matters of Christian living, and leadership, and ultimately produce more team leaders. Now, in our church, we started off with about 4 or 5 teams. Those 4 or 5 teams developed leaders, and now those guys are leaders, and now we have 7 teams. And in fact, within the next 4 to 6 months, we're going to get 2 more leaders who, you know, to become team leaders and lead a soul winning group and train them, etc. He said, what does that have to do with Belize? Well, each team leader has not only been designated an area in Los Angeles, you know, to evangelize, they're also being designated countries. So we have a guy in our church, his name is Glenn, okay? And he has what's called the Glenn Gang, right? That's his group. I mean, he disciples these guys. He loves these guys. He trains them. He's taught them how to soul win. He's taught them how to get jobs. You know, he's teaching them in Christian living. And he's been very successful. Well, he's being designated Belize. And he's already gone. Like, as soon as we talked about Belize, he was just like, all right, I'm on the next airplane, taking some of the guys, we're going. And John went with him. So we're going in March to basically kind of be like a catalyst for our church to just get everyone excited about it. But once we pull out, he's staying there. He's, and then as far as like, that's his country, okay? He's going to be designated that country to evangelize that country until God moves us somewhere else. And this is our plan. These men, you know, I'm basically encouraging these men, get a vision for a specific country. You could be a missionary, okay? You don't need the video. You don't need the prayer card. You don't need the faith promise, you know, sign your life away and your social security and all these things. You don't need any of that. You just need to make a trip once a year, twice a year. Inspire the people in your group to go out there and preach the gospel. Go out there for a couple days, get people saved, and get a heart for missions. When I was growing up as a Christian, spiritually speaking, I remember I felt like there was like a division between those who wanted to be pastors and those who wanted to be missionaries. There's always like this division. And, you know, the pastors were very much, they were honored, but it's like the missionaries were like, those were like the legitimate heroes, you know? And there's always this division, but you know what? Fooey with that. We're all missionaries. There's no division between pastor, missionary, and layman here when it comes to the mission work. We can all be a part of that. You know, you don't need to go to Bible college. You don't need to go to language school. You just need to go to that gateway door to cut your teeth and go do the work. Be a great commissionary, amen? To go out there, you say, well, I'm not called to be a pastor. You don't need to be. Why get a calling when you have a command to go out and preach the gospel to every creature? I want to challenge you to join us in this endeavor to evangelize, baptize, and disciple Belize. And maybe you're in this conference, you're like, well, man, I want to go here, I want to go here. Or you might be saying, I don't know where I want to go. You know, you're kind of undecided. Well, hey, it doesn't hurt to just come with us for a couple days, try it out, and who knows, you might even fall in love with the country of Belize. I know I did. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. And thank you for the leaders in this movement. Obviously, we're independent churches, but I'm thankful for these men, pastors, and laymen churches that have ignited a fire under the church members and their congregations to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. This is not a job just for those who have done 4 years of Bible college, but rather this is for all of God's people to go out and evangelize the world just as we evangelize here in the States. And I pray, God, that you'd help us as First Works Baptist Church to do our part in evangelizing this world, the Spanish-speaking world, as we start with Belize. I pray you continue to prepare the hearts of the people that are out there. Bless the missions trip in March, that we would see tons of people saved, Lord. And Lord willing, if you would so open a door, maybe we can start a church there. And that could become a base where we can send more soul winners and missionaries to Central America and Guatemala and Honduras and El Salvador and Costa Rica and all these other areas. I pray, God, that you'd help us to do so. And please continue to expand our influence. Continue to expand our churches, Lord, so we could do more work for you. And I pray that, Lord, whoever's here that may be undecided of where they're going to go, may they just make a decision to come with us. But may they make a decision to go somewhere. And invest that time to win people to Christ in the uttermost parts of the world. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and grab your